you already know. Maxi Chisito in 3, 2, 1 to get in the muscle. Washington producer is one of the biggest people that's trying to push this, because he doesn't make a cent out of any of the Radio and Weasel music that he has ever made. That's 20 years of music that he can be making money on every time somebody clicks on it, and he's not. So people need copyrights in this country so people can get paid for the art that they make. Okay, they get paid on the day of the work, because that's what you do. You book a producer, you share the revenue, or you pay him. But they deserve money. And the same with Tenge Tenge and his TikTok page. Uganda does not have a creators fund. So any TikToker, any YouTuber, any live streamer in Africa does not get which is ridiculous.
I'm from a beautiful place, the Pearl of Africa, hailing with a 256, it's in my blood. That's a gem where the mountains rise, with stories untold, the tapestry of cultures unfolding so vibrant and bold. A symphony of stars, a celestial light, the drums beating, echoing through the night, just like a beacon of light, a reflection that's coming up from the Nile. I'm flowing straight into the heart of Africa with timeless stories untold. Sup, dog?
Maxi, welcome back on the podcast, man.
Yeah, because of public demand, you asked, we deliver.
people wanted Maxi back on the podcast. Oh man, I appreciate you being here and your time.
Thanks everybody for watching and for the comments. I think you got a lot out of it as well. People really happy with the quality of the show. A lot of people asked for me to come back. I'm happy we did, bro. We've been planning it for a week now, so here we are. Finally, we got back together. How have you been?
Yeah, I've been good. I've been great. Just busy working, podcasts, and thinking. But yeah, I've been busy just working. I couldn't wait to have you back on the podcast. And like you said, the people that watched push this podcast was amazing. You gave some texts here that people liked on the internet, and I wanted us to start with that first.
And it's good to talk about different stuff because you reach different groups of people. Now, if you talk about entertainment, of course, those people are going to feel that. If you talk about Muzungus and Europe, of course, those people will comment on that. What else did we talk about? Some politics. So, yeah, it's good. And I hope today we can accomplish the same. I have a lot to tell you. I think you have a bunch of questions for me. I'm super excited to be here. Let's roll it, man.
When I started the podcast, I always wanted somebody who is in Uganda and knows what's going on in Uganda, because people nowadays like the day-to-day things, like current events happening in Uganda. So you're the right person because you're in entertainment and you know everything that's going on. So I want to start, before we go into the questions I have for you today, I want to revisit a few episodes that we've pulled out that people have commented on. One of the first one that sticks out to me the most, the written one, you mentioned that in Belgium, there's a women's menu. A bunch of people came out and said, no, he's lying. You want to correct the
Belgium
audience about that?
Did I say abroad?
Oh, you say Europe.
Did I say Belgium?
You say Europe.
Or Europe. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then what was the comment?
A lot of people were saying lies, he's lying. I've never seen any restaurant like that. There's no restaurant that has a women's menu in Europe. Most of the comments
were
like that.
That's because they go to the wrong restaurants.
Yeah.
They can't afford the places we go to. No, okay, I'll be honest. Not every fucking restaurant in the Western world has a male and female menu. Of course not. But was that the point I was trying to make? The point I was trying to make is that men should pay and that women should not be worried about finances when you're in a relationship with them. So to give an example, I picked out the hyper-rich, high-class restaurants, Michelin star restaurants, or very fancy lounges. Yes, there are menus without prices for women. But whoever is saying those are lies, they're not living the same lifestyle. Let them stay in their pubs.
Also, I think a lot of people agreed with you. There's a comment I tagged you in on my story. A lady in London, she was talking about like how she agreed with you about women not using men for money, and that's going on a lot these days.
And I think we made a fair point there. A lot of people agreed with me. Of course, a lot of people disagree with me. That's why we have podcasts, so we can see what the world is thinking and share our opinions. But there is nothing wrong with a man financially taking care of a woman. But it's not correct for a woman to extort men or ask for money. There is nothing worse than getting a telephone call from a girl and you feel like, oh, I know what she's going to ask. I know she's going to say, hey, can you buy me some MBs or can you send me some mobile money? Of course, if you can support a girl, of course. And I have friends, we do that for each other. But all the time. And if that's your business, if that's how you survive, then I don't think those girls are happy. They can't love themselves if you're always depending on somebody else. So people are saying girls, women should work. Women are working. They make their own money. They can take care of themselves. But a man should always provide.
That is true. And I won't give people who have not watched the episode, we're not going to go sit down and make this episode about the last two. So if you missed anything in the past episode, they're on YouTube, go up there and watch them. So today we're going
to... It's good you brought up the first episode because I advise everybody to go and watch it on YouTube. It's an hour. It won't take a lot of your time. And we talk about a lot of things in depth. But it's good you brought that up. But this episode, we're going to be talking about some other things, right?
Some other things. But I want to start with, you were in Ghana. How was Ghana?
Yeah, I literally flew in a few days ago. I was in Ghana for a week. Some people invited me there. I went with Primo Promotions, my management. They got a connection out there with a woman that owns a nightclub, Paradiso Nightclub. Mm-hmm. They had some difficulties keeping it open and working with entertainment. So they flew us in and asked, hey, can you come and take a look? We see what you're doing out there in East Africa. Maybe we can do the same thing over here. So I took a look at the club. I socialized. I met up with great people, big artists, big promoters. Shout out to Black Volta. You're my G. He really took care of me, showed me around. He's such an influential person. Just the fact that I was walking with him brought me so much business. Like a lot of people are asking me, where are you from? What are you doing? This is so exciting. So I'll definitely be working with him more. Especially if we're trying to do events and parties in Ghana and Accra, I'll need Black Volta for sure. So I'm happy I met him. The party scene there is amazing. So I had a good time.
I enjoyed that you went rocking the Uganda hat, representing Uganda. I like that you love Uganda hat and representing wherever you go.
And it's an easy way to make a statement, you know. Okay, fine. I'm an image by myself. If I walk into a room, of course, people will notice me. But wearing the Uganda hat, I think, was important. Wherever I went, people told me, oh, that's a nice cap. And by the way, I gave it to somebody on the flight back. I was sitting next to a Nigerian guy that works in Dubai in a nightclub as a bouncer. Huge guy. And he told me, oh, you're from Uganda. My girlfriend is Ugandan. And then I fell asleep and he took a picture of my hat, sent it to his girlfriend. And she said, oh, baby, please ask him I haven't been back home in so many years. I need that hat. And when we landed in Entebbe, he had a connection flight to Nigeria. He's like, hey, bro, can I ask you, my girlfriend really wants that cap. I was like, you know what? You're going to have it. No problem. I told him, but you have to take a picture in front of the Bush Al Arab or, you know, one of those fancy buildings in Dubai and take a picture and send it to me.
Before you left to go to Ghana, you had just finished the Davido show. I know we were trying so hard to give you the live comments about the Davido show, but time difference. So now I want you to talk about it now. I know it's past, but still people would like to know the insight and the behind the scenes of things.
It was a very big moment for Kampala, so it doesn't matter that we weren't able to talk about it straight away after the show, because I like you said, I really hoped for that. But it, like I said, it was such a big event. Even talking about it now gives it justice. Super proud to see Davido back in Kampala. Davido is such an amazing artist, so creative. He had his rough times as well. We've known Davido for over 12 years. He's been coming to Kampala. We met him every time he came. Of course, JB Razor is best friends with him. Did you see that video of JB? When him and JB see each other? And then he says, Chameleon Uyo. And then Davido and Chameleon have their moment. Mm-hmm. It's such a great video. I love JB. If you don't know JB, you don't know Kampala. It's very easy. JB Razor is the probably the most connected person I know in Kampala when it comes to African entertainment.
Yep. Yeah, I remember you say that last time we recorded. I saw you. I was following you. I was following your Instagram every step with Davido. First, we start with the press conference that he did at I see an international
East Africa University. Shout out to East Africa University and Tasha and Hassan. They really did a great job. It was not easy. You know, Davido is a very high profile person. It's like the whole city was shaking when Davido was coming to Uganda. You know, it's a very big
even before, like, you know, he was late and everybody was like, where is he at?
So it's not always easy to make things go according to plan with big celebrities like that. So yes, he was supposed to come the day before. Yes, a lot of students had to wait. Yes, the university was a little bit upset, but he came. He did come. He did go to the university. Nobody believed it. Everybody said, why would Davido go to Diddy's World? You know, but big shout out to East Africa University. They did an international university. They did a great job. It was really fun because the students that did stay and did wait and did believe that he was going to come, they had a great time with it because it was a small group of students, him. They had a nice ceremony. He opened a new hall and he got a bachelor degree. It was just like pure love, you know, not on the stage or performance, but him interacting with normal people. It was super fun to watch.
There was a lot of people who were on that point of Davido opening up a new course at the university. They were like, there's not anybody in East Africa that's big enough to open the faculty or the course. So we had to get somebody from West Africa to come and do that.
That's just haters again, you know. Listen, if you get the opportunity for Davido to come to university, you take it.
Yeah.
They took it. They did it. Nobody else could do it. Everybody else just shut the f***. Davido was the perfect person to open that up because Davido is becoming more and more expensive. Hopefully, we will see him again soon. When was the last time he was here? 7 years ago? 6 years ago? Yeah. 5 years ago? Not sure. Somewhere in that area. So the fact that he was here and East Africa University was able to grab him, salute to them. And whoever is saying different doesn't know what they're talking about.
That's true. But the other thing I want to miss out on Davido's show was his bodyguard. I noticed he was a Mzungu. What was your take on that?
Yeah, people were like comparing me to that guy, man. That was super annoying. They're like, oh, Davido's bodyguard is better than Chameleon's bodyguard. First of all, let me tell you, I'm not a bodyguard. I've been called many things. I've been with Chameleon for 12 years. I've been his backup dancer. Yeah, they tell me, you go and clean his shoes. You carry his bags. Yes, I've done all those things. I have no shame admitting that. I've carried his bags. I've cleaned his shoes. I've ironed his shirts. I've booked his hotels. I've booked his flights. I run across the street to buy cigarettes. So what? That's called crew life. And if you're not part of that, then fine. I can understand it might look funny. It might look like we're bitches, you know, like trying to eat off him. But that's how you start. You need to start somewhere. A master has an apprentice. And what the master does, the apprentice learns from. So you can call me whatever you want. Bodyguard, stage manager, I don't give a fuck. But Davido's bodyguard, I wasn't impressed by. Okay, fine, he was covered in tattoos. He looked mean, but he wasn't doing his job right. I saw videos on Entebbe Airport where Davido walked up to his car. And then he looked at him like, hey, are you going to open the door? Like what a bodyguard is supposed to fucking do. And then the guy was just looking around like he was going to get stabbed or something. And Davido just decided to open the door himself. I was like, oh, so then why? You're supposed to be more professional than me. That could never happen with me. When I'm with Chameleon moves like a king.
Yeah.
Anything. I already know what he needs before he needs it. So don't compare me to other Muzungus. That's funny.
Tell us about the after party. We were not at the after party. What happened at the after party? What went on after the Davido show?
There's a lot of confusion about it. People say that two bars paid for it. Others say that's not true. But what happened was that we were at Noni V. The setup was amazing. Let me shout out to Martel Cognac, and of course the head of that. It's Adewole, also a Nigerian who's come to Kampala work with Martel, Jameson, Absolute. He's doing a lot of work. He knows his entertainment. He knows how to throw events. I have big respect for Adewole. I don't know if you saw the VIP and VVIP at the show as well. It looked fantastic. The setup was amazing. Cocktail bars, kitchens, nice seating, amazing view. Yeah, big shout out to Martel. So they also own the after party. Unfortunately, Davido got into a conflict. There was a little bit of ruckus, a little bit of fighting. And then they decided not to enter Noni V, which was a bit disappointing because a lot of people came. Even my table, they bought an Azure. You know, these things are not cheap. So it was very disappointing that Davido couldn't make it to the official after party. But then he ended up going to Maison Noir, okay, where they had a great time. I saw. I didn't go for that. I stayed at the Martel party, which was a blast. Mm. And but hey, Davido came to Kampala once again. He did a great performance. He represented the African music industry. He was on stage and telling people, why are you not clapping for your artist? Mm-hmm. You know, why are you not supporting your own artist? So he forced people to make more noise. Palazzo and Deuce did a great fucking job on stage as well. I have mad respect for Deuce Grenade. I've known that kid since he was a kid. He's still a kid. He will always be my little brother, but I have a lot of respect for him. The way Davido pulled him on, the way they performed together, it's a big moment.
Do they have a song together, or Davido was just cheering up his song?
So I'm not sure, eh? Because they did sing together something, but I don't know what that was. Yeah. Was that something new or something I don't know? Yeah. Palazzo has a song with him, yeah?
Yeah, Palazzo.
I don't know about Deuce, but he should. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Davido, if you hear this, please give Deuce Grenade a song. Yeah. He deserves it. He's an upcoming artist, but he's been doing it for so long. Like, he knows what he's doing. The last few years have been so good to him. So he's upcoming, but a superstar for the last 10 years at least already. He's been a superstar and he behaves like one too. I love him.
Since we're talking about Gourned, what's your take on Gourned and Rickman's relationship? I've seen that in the news somewhere. Just touching a little bit.
Well, I mean, everybody knows about their relationship. Now they're both in love with the same girl. And that's all I can say about that. Both of them are good friends of me. I have respect for both of them. Of course, Sheila is one of my very close friends as well. Shout out to Kashumba. And they have a love triangle, I guess. It's. I understand, though. If you see a woman that you not necessarily love, but if you see a woman that you have a past with or emotions for, if you see her with somebody else, you can get jealous, you can get angry. A lot of emotions come up. Yeah. And, did Rickman and Gourned, do they have to fight? No, I don't agree with that either. But I can understand why Gourned got mad. It's just animal instinct.
So, yeah, I've seen that on the internet somewhere. I don't know the full story, so I decided to ask. But yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they had a few public they bumped into each other, and things were said, and people got hurt. But that's what happens if when two lions meet each other. They have to fight.
The ground suffers. Anyway, at the Davido show, I saw a picture of you that you posted on the story meeting Sheila Salter for the first time after a long time. What is your relationship with, okay, how is it like?
I'll talk about Salter today, no problem. Okay. I haven't talked about Salter in a very long time. A lot of people commented on that. I was just in a really happy moment. I was on stage and I was making videos anyway. That's what you do on stage. And I saw her sitting there and I was like, I just pulled out my phone. I was like, yo, peace, Sheila Salter. She deuced back. It was a very short video. And I think I wrote on it that other people think that there is still beef between us, but we know that we're fine. And a lot of people commented on that, like, oh, you're still in love with her and things like that. But me and Sheila had a very good relationship. I'm proud of that relationship. We grew up together. She had an amazing career. I learned a lot and I had my thing going on. Now I'm doing it for myself, which I think is very important. I went through, breakups are not easy, you know. Breakups are not easy to handle. They hurt. They're uncomfortable, especially for the people around us as well. So it took me some time to get over it. But I'm blossoming. I think people notice that I love myself again, that I'm happy with myself again. And that I'm focusing on me instead of other people. But I have to admit, when I was on stage, it was a bit emotional. We did that for 10 years almost together, you know, from stage to stage to stage. Mm-hmm. So being on stage with her and then having Chameleon perform, Chameleon was always like our big brother. When me and Sheila would fight, He would come and say, ah, you two come sit down. Let's talk about it. Yeah, by the way, Chameleon calls me and Sheila Tom and Jerry. we used to chase each other and fight. We loved each other deeply. And I could just, you know, being on stage with her, looking into her eyes, I could see that there is still love, there is still respect. But I'm very proud of her. I'm happy for her. I hope she does great in the future. But I will not be there with her in the future, that's for sure. Yeah. I'm doing me, 100%. But yeah, people did ask me about why would you post Sheila? I was like, yeah, I don't know. I was just in the moment. I was happy. Old memories, flashbacks. Like I said, I think me and Sheila have done over at least 5,000 shows. You know, like we worked very hard. We were the entertainment couple. We were on every show, every gig, every backstage, every after party, every red carpet. We were everywhere. So yeah, shout out to Solta. Honestly, yeah. I will always love her. Always have respect.
Yeah,
for her.
I think she's doing great, and I know she works at NRG. She's doing a great time at NRG and having a good show and the presentation. Yep. So exactly. Yeah, shout out to Sheila and whatever she's doing.
Bless her.
And I know both of you have moved on and have different lives, and life is also like going on. So. Around April 1st, at first I thought it was April Fool's Day, the NRG posted a picture on their page and they introduced their new CEO. At first I was like, oh, maybe that's April Fool's Day, because I think they posted it on April 1st. I don't know the right date. And it was Sheila Gashumba.
It could be, but I doubt. Gashumba has been in South Africa since then. Okay. And I've been in Ghana since then.
Okay.
So I can really confirm with you that Sheila Gashumba is the new CEO of NRG. Mm-hmm. But I really hope she is. That company needs a lot of help. They did a very good job entering the market with a bang, with a boom. Everybody heard about NRG. So they did a good job. I don't believe in radio advertisement, but we worked with them. It was a medium experience, I would say. They're a good brand. They work with a lot of young people. They're focused on young people. They're more active on TikTok than they are on the radio station. I think they post at least 5-6 times a day. But I guess that's their marketing strategy. But I don't feel the impact. So I really hope that Sheila Gashumba is the new CEO of NRG. Because I think she can make it a little bit more serious. Mm-hmm. I think she can represent that brand as a businesswoman. Maybe also enter the corporate world, get money from there. There are a lot of brands and people out there that would like to use NRG as a platform that don't want to be associated with that childish behavior at the moment. And I know that Gashumba can also work on their events side. Mm-hmm. They like to show up for events. Yeah. They like to capture the events, but I know that Sheila Gashumba will add a lot of value to that brand. Yeah. So I'm actually seeing her tomorrow. We have a brunch together tomorrow. So I'm definitely going to ask her. I don't know if it was posted on the 1st of April. Okay. You just told me that. But I think if they did sign a contract or make her the CEO, they made a very smart move. Okay. Because they could use a brain like Sheila's.
The reason why I thought that, because usually when people sign contracts or do stuff, they usually take pictures of that moment signing a contract, and then they say...
Yeah, like I said, she's been in South Africa all that time,
yeah,
right?
That
makes
sense.
So she just came back. I think she's in Nairobi right now. She's flying in tomorrow or tonight. I'm not sure. I'm not in charge of her schedule.
Okay.
But I saw she was in Nairobi yesterday. Tomorrow I'll see her for the brunch. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's an April Fool's. Let's see this week if she signs a contract with NRG.
Yeah.
But I hope so. Honestly, they need the help.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And I feel like I live in the US. I don't know much about Sheila, but you're the right person down there to give us the information of what's going on ground. And you work with...
Yeah, we've known each other for quite some time.
Yeah, you work with all these people. You work with them more than we all do. But I was going to also ask you about the Ed Bryan's. I see you're wearing Ed Bryan's shirt. You went to the Easter event brunch that he had. How was that like?
Yeah, amazing. And not just the Easter one. He's doing it every month, right? Is it the last Sunday of the month? I advise everybody to go to the Style and Fashion Brunch of A. Bryan's at Sky Hotel Naguru, last Sunday of the month. It's an amazing experience. That's probably the best buffet, the best brunch buffet I've seen in Kampala, hands down. I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't lie when it comes to food. I've never promoted restaurants whose food sucks. And I've been invited to many. I eat free in many places in Kampala. And I can only promote the ones that have good food. That brunch is amazing. The quality of the brunch, the cocktails. Of course, it attracts a lot of elite people, you know, A-listers, a lot of beautiful women. Everybody's dressed nice. You know, the atmosphere is amazing. Good entertainment. So, yeah, he's really done something well there. A big shout out to A. Bryant's. It's funny you mentioned it. I'm wearing his clothes. Yeah. He's such a good guy. And we've been friends for so long. Like, I've known A. Bryant's for a very long time. I used to model for him when I was skinny.
Yeah. I think we need A. Bryant's to be on the podcast at some point. So I'm going to give you the task to get us A. Bryant's.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, like, that he would be a great person.
Yeah.
He's such an amazing guy. Like, and he knows so much about his industry and business in general. So having a podcast with A. Bryant's, I definitely have to ask him that. Definitely. I guess this is A. Bryant's, do you want to be on the podcast? There you go. You know, we can use this to send to him. He would be a great person.
I'll post this on Instagram so A. Bryant's can come and join us and have a good
coming soon.
Yeah. But before I leave this part, there's been some news, things going around social media about Jose Chameleon's relationship. And you're the person who knows a lot more of Jose Chameleon than we do, his life, whatever he does. But recently, his wife came out on social media and she talked about domestic violence. She talked about everything she's been going through. What is your view on that? Like what Daniela talked about and you knowing Chameleon to that level?
Yeah, he's my best friend. I've seen him for 12 years almost every day, so I know exactly what's going on in his life. The problem is I'm not supposed to talk about that. You know, that's my boss. It's like company information. You need to keep that confidential. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. If you see this on air, it means we have talked to Chameleon about what I'm about to say, my opinion. I'm not going to go too much in depth to it, but we have showed it to him and he agreed that we're allowed to air it. All right. You're asking me about Daniela and Chameleon. It's very easy. I'll be straight up right now because I have respect for Daniela. She's like an auntie. You know what I mean? I've known her as long as I've known Jose. She likes me, I guess. She has mutual respect. She's called me a drug addict and alcoholic in the past. So, I think I can speak about Daniela a little bit. I think that what she's doing is wrong. Let me be straight up. He shouldn't be exposed like that. Especially sometimes women like to point out the few little wrong things that we've done, but they leave out the thousands of good things that we have done. You spend 15 years together. Okay, you have your ups and downs. Everybody does. Every relationship does. But you cannot take 15 years and define that, oh, because he did this and that and that. No, but what he has done so many good things. Why? How are they in America? You know? So the one thing I can say about Daniela is she should not be exposing Chameleon like that.
Yeah.
Going online, I think it's a cry for attention. To be honest, maybe she's just looking for people's reaction. Maybe she's feeling lonely. I don't know. That's her problem. All I know is that Chameleon. She says that Chameleon needs to move on. I think he has. To be honest, Chameleon and Daniela had their issues when me and Sheila had their issues. I'm feeling a lot better. That's like 3 years now, and I think he's feeling a lot better too. He's doing himself. I think she posted like, "Oh, you can have him for free or something."
I saw
like
something
that.
Like that.
And it just you don't say that about him. Like you're not in the position to sell Chameleon.
Yeah.
He's his own brand. He's doing his thing. He's an amazing musician. Of course, a breakup is a breakup. You suffer from that, but you shouldn't expose each other. With all the respect for Daniela, she should stop that. Maybe, like I said, I think it's a cry for attention. But all I can tell you is Chameleon is doing great. He's feeling great. But I think she might regret it. And that's why she's now attacking him. But let's see how it works out. I hope both of them can just have a mutual understanding and respect each other and let it be. Chameleon had a reply and people are supporting him as well. He's getting no backlash for anything because what she's doing is just attacking him for a few moments in life compared to a lifetime that they had together. So yeah, I hope she finds peace and goes back to the good Christian that I know she is, instead of being so angry. We like to see her more happy.
I don't think you were in the room when I was, we were setting up and doing this. Dan has an employee who helps him with setting up. So we're making a little fun of Tenge Tenge, Tenge Tenge. And you know Tenge Tenge?
Yeah, he kind of looks like
you know Tenge.
Yeah, I know Tenge Tenge. It's a creepy ass kid.
So Tenge,
the f is wrong with
Tenge is making rounds on TikTok and
it's
everywhere.
Creepy, like, man, I don't like watching him.
TikTok,
man,
made a face out of him. Why? And I wanted to make sure, like, does he get paid? And I had this question: why does TikTok not pay Africans? Like, I don't know if Tenge is paid. Yeah, like, I wanted to make sure doesn't pay Africans. Like, especially Tenge Tenge. Like, he has a face on TikTok. I don't know if he gets money.
What's that called? What's that called on TikTok? And you, what's that platform called when you get paid?
On TikTok, I don't know.
Creators Fund, or something like that.
I don't know. No? I don't know. Okay.
Moving on. Why does nobody get paid in Africa? Is a very big question that I ask myself every day. We don't have copyrights in Uganda, so producers, DJs, not DJs, producers, engineers, sound engineers, artists, they don't make money out of their own music, which is completely crazy. And we've been begging the government to open a office that specialized in what's it called? Copyrights. To focus to make laws. So people, Washington producer is one of the biggest people that's trying to push this because he doesn't make a cent out of any of the Radio and Weasel music that he has ever made. That's 20 years of music that he can be making money on every time somebody clicks on it. And he's not. So people need copyrights in this country so people can get paid for the art that they make. Okay, they get paid on the day of the work because that's what you do. You pay up, you book a producer, you share the revenue, or you pay him. But they deserve money. And the same with Tenge Tenge and his TikTok page. Uganda does not have a creators fund. So any TikToker, any YouTuber, any live streamer in Africa does not get fucking paid, which is ridiculous. Why not? It's 1 billion people on this continent and they're all streaming. They're all making amazing content, but we're not getting paid. Where's that money going? Who is swallowing that money? Let African content creators and producers and influencers, let them get paid. Even for this.
Yeah.
If it airs on YouTube, okay, you're in America. You're pulling stream.
Yeah.
But if you would post this video in Uganda, you don't make nothing, which is ridiculous.
That is crazy. And I was thinking about that because I think somebody raised that up. It's like, I went on TikTok and I typed Tenge Tenge and you see, like, white people using it, everybody using it all over the world. Like, they're using his.
It's huge. He's a creepy kid, but he's huge.
Yeah. And I was wondering about. But isn't that something that Eddie Kenzo and his organization were trying to fight for? Like,
Yeah. And before Eddie Kenzo was the president of the Uganda Music Association, it was Chameleon who tried. And before him, it was somebody. Everybody has fought for that copyright office. It should be an office. Ministry of Uganda, copyrights. I swear, so people can start making money out of their art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we should keep fighting for it. Everybody that works in this industry should hold hands and push for it. By the time it happens, finally, it will also be good for the next generation that are coming up. It will give them a reason to get into podcasting or content creation. But right now, the youth is looking at it like, why would I do it if I'm not going to get paid?
Yeah, yeah, that is true. And we think about that, we talk about it, but I think somebody needs to do something somewhere.
Like the brand Tenge Tenge, the logo Tenge Tenge, is not making money. If somebody makes a painting or a picture or a NFT or anything in Uganda, there is no copyright for him. Mm-hmm. There is no protection shield. Anybody can take it and use it without any legal backup. So that's why we need a copyright office.
Yeah.
to protect artists.
Yep. Well, I hope this message gets to the right person who needs to hear that. The other thing,
it's a good message.
You told me in the first episode we did, you were raised by the Mayanja family. Recently, there was a clip. There was a clip of Palazzo. I think I saw it on Instagram, and they were reporting that he was playing music at 5 a.m. and his neighbor, who was a Muzungu, told him to cut it out. And then he's like, this is my country. I do whatever I want. And if I go out in their country, I do what they want. What is your take on that?
Okay, like, listen. Joseph Mayanja is my boss. Weasel Mayanja is like my best friend. And Palazzo is like a brother too. I will always protect their image. I will, whatever they do, we have to stand together. We are family. So what he did was... let's say 50-50. All right. Okay. Maybe he was drinking a little. He was having some fun. Little house party, after party. The neighbors complain. Come on. Your neighbors never complain?
They
turn down the music. Mm-hmm. Come on. This happens everywhere. It's just because he's a big guy. And I think he was a Frenchman, that Muzungu. Mm-hmm. And he knew that. He knew that that was Palazzo. Otherwise, he wouldn't have pulled out his camera and filmed it. He would have just called the police or the landlord. But he knew that was Palazzo. He's also an influencer, I heard. Mm-hmm. The guy's making a documentary about traveling in Africa. And he was staying in Uganda for a bit. So I bet he knew who that was. And he just used that in his benefit to expose Palazzo in his own benefit. Which is typical something what Muzungus will do. Muzungus are mostly cloud chasers. There are a lot of cloud chasers in this city. They come here. They make videos about eating Rolexes and driving Bodas for their own benefit. They are not promoting our lifestyle. They are exposing in their own benefit how Africa works. But we don't benefit out of that. So keep your cameras at home. If you're not here to show the real Africa, if you're not here to show what's important to us and what we believe in, then please just keep your cameras at home. Don't come here and benefit from our culture by exposing it. So I think that's what happened. But of course, he shouldn't have been. He was a little bit arrogant. So what? Yeah, he's a superstar. That's his right.
That was good. I saw you at NBS After Five. I think I follow every step. I'm like I follow everything you do. I mean, I follow you on Instagram. But I saw you at After Five. Had a chat with Douglas Runga and all those guys up there. You were doing a battle. But there's also this statement you made, like. A lot of people, there are some people who are selling folk there's a lot of people who are selling fake bottles in clubs. Can you talk about that and how do they do that?
Bro, it's bad. At the moment, we're having a really bad pandemic in Kampala where nightclubs, I don't know if they're doing it themselves. And I bet there must be bar owners that sell fake bottles of alcohol because they know it's cheaper and they want to make more money. But lately, I've been going to good places. I'm not going to mention them because it would destroy their reputation. And I've talked to the owners and I've talked to the bar managers and I've exposed them saying, this is fake liquor. That bottle of tequila is fake. That bottle of whiskey is fake. It's methanol. Like, I bet if you mix it with soda or juice, people don't really get it because they're having a good time. But I immediately taste the difference because I drink every day. So I know what liquor tastes like. There's a pandemic going around in Kampala where bars are serving fake liquor. And they need to stop that. It will spoil their reputation. They think because we are drunk, they can give us a fake bottle of tequila, we won't notice. But the reputation of your bar will die. I highly advise bars in Kampala to stop serving customers fake bottles of liquor. Because it's dangerous. People could have serious health issues because of these fake bottles. I don't even know where they're getting them from. Probably Congo or Somalia or somewhere like that. But they're putting methanol in whiskey bottles to sell in high-end bars. I've exposed them. And of course, they apologize. And the managers tell me, maybe it's the supplier. Maybe it's the staff that's trying to bring in fake bottles and sell it under the nose of their boss. But it's they should stop it because it's dangerous.
I didn't know that's happening, but I could see. I only knew it back when they would... you know how they do the Renzoli bottles? Like, people take a drink and they collect those bottles and they just put new water in them. They resell those back in the day.
They put a needle in the bottom and then they fill it up with water.
And then they sell it. Now, I was just going to say on the topic of bottles, because you promote a lot of alcohol everywhere, even on after 5 years promoting alcohols everywhere. And some people might see that as like, oh, he's just selling bottles. That's all he does. That's his job. But what do you just tell to people who think you're just selling bottles? You're just, that's a job you're doing.
Yeah, it's another way of just being jealous, right? Okay, am I a club promoter? Yes, of course. Yeah. I think I do my job very well. I think the bars that I work with, the nights that I promote, have always been profitable. The DJs, the entertainment always get paid. Sometimes working together is hard, but the bar industry is a big industry in this city. It's something I tapped into a few years ago. I've always been in the hospitality. I've worked in bars, hotels, nightclubs, discotheques. I've done it all. But at the moment, I think my brand is growing. And if people say that all I do is sell bottles, because of course they see me promoting all these bottles and I'm on the posters with the bottles. And of course, when you book a table at one of my nights, the first thing I'll tell you is, so how many bottles are you buying? Because according to the amount of bottles that you buy, you get a certain position in the club. If you want to be close to the DJ or if you want to be in the spotlight and look like a bowler, well, then, you know, you need to pay up. You need to buy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bottles. And according to that, I'll give you a good table. 1 bottle, you sit there, 2 bottles, 3 bottles. And that's where we make our money. And not only me, a lot of people are doing it. It's just a business relationship with the bars and the brands. And the brands are very happy with us as well. That's why they make us brand ambassadors. I mean, I work with Martell. I'm not the brand ambassador of Martell, but I am an influencer for Martell. So now the brand ambassador for Africa, Martell, is Davido. So is Davido also selling bottles then? No, it's just a way of working together with brands. I appreciate your brand. You support me financially and however possible. And in return, I will sell the bottles in the clubs and I will represent your brand. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I do a lot more besides from that. I'm into fashion. I'm into agriculture. But if people are saying all I do is sell bottles, I mean, I guess they're just jealous.
Because, I mean, last time you talked about the business, the shoe, you have a shoe business.
Kubo Sneaker Shop. Hey, shout out to the f***ing lady that does the juice down the floor down
what is her, building. Dan, what is
this
her business
is
the best
name? Juice ever.
Mama who?
And I'm not getting paid to promote this bottle.
We need to shout out her name. I don't know.
Shout out to Village Juice on the second floor of Ivory Plaza.
Yeah.
There you go. That's
the second time you're drinking there. Every time you come out here, you drink the juice.
Last episode, I was drinking it too. Because it's ice cold and she mixes it just right. Not too much sugar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big shout out.
At the beginning of the podcast, we were talking behind the scenes. People didn't hear behind the scenes. You were explaining to me like you don't come from a rich family. So you've had to hustle for everything you have made. You don't have a Range Rover. You're under 30 years, but you're the most influential promoter in Africa.
We've owned Range Rovers, but I bought them myself.
But I was saying too, like it's hard for the Ugandans to believe. They think every Muzungu has like a nice background, like they have money.
Yeah, and that's the wrong image that Africans have about Muzungus. Because I promise you, if you're very successful and you're driving nice cars and you're sleeping with beautiful women abroad, there is no reason for you to come to Kampala and move here because you already have an established life there. The ones that come here are the ones that don't get attention, the ones that don't get the woman, that don't live the nice lifestyle. So they look elsewhere to start a life. And I know Kampala is, of course, the weather is good. It's easier to start a business. The international community supports each other in a way. I guess I'm not part of it. I stay far away from them. First of all, I'm very lucky that my parents live in Africa with me. Having your parents around is important. But I come from a humble family. Mm-hmm. My parents are missionaries. They came here as missionaries. My mom works with children, and my dad is retired. We're just good people. People always ask me what happened to you because my parents are so nice. They're the best. So what I meant with that was that I don't come from a rich family. Like, of course, they've supported me. Every parent supports, but not compared to other promoters and celebrities in this country whose parents work in the government or have big jobs, or, you know, your brother can buy you a Range Rover. Yeah, then it's easy to look good. You know, you're privileged. I hustle. I run the streets, you know. I had to do what I had to do to survive. 22 years in Uganda is not easy. Nobody else has done it. Of my age, in what I'm doing, I have no competition. There is nobody that does what I do. So to keep that up, I had to work very hard. Yeah. And of course, all the support you have is welcome. But I know people that are doing what I do with a lot of support from their parents, or, you know, the way they brought up. Yeah, they have it a lot easier, for sure. Don't think I'm doing boo-hoo, boo Maxi now. Don't think I'm don't be pity on me now. But you talked about people would not believe that I come from a humble family, but I do. I come from a very simple family. Of course, we've always worked hard, mm-hmm. and we had a good life because we know how to live a good life. But I did it by myself. I'm self-made.
So let's talk about some of the upcoming shows in Kampala 2024. I think Chameleon has a show in August.
He just announced his show. I'm super excited about that. The last few years I've been like, you know, every year he does his big one, right? Mm-hmm. Lugogo Cricket, 30, 40,000 people go crazy, you know, one man show. He kills it every year. Remember the 1 million mm-hmm. show? That was like 7, 8 years ago. It was also at Serena. And it was like a little bit more intimate, because you don't have a huge crowd that you need to entertain. You don't have to focus your high energy towards the entire performance. You can take it easy. You can become emotional. You can interact with the crowd. So if you have a smaller crowd, it gives you that opportunity to show yourself more. And I can't wait for that, because Chameleon is the best like that. If you give him his time, and if he feels comfortable around the people that he is, and of course, Serena Victoria Hall is what? If it's 1,000, mm-hmm. 2,000, maybe 1,000, 2,000 people, if you squeeze it, because they have that balcony, and then you can put the VIP tables. So it's gonna be very intimate, and of course, the tables are gonna be very expensive. He's charging
dollars.
F- it. If you love me, if you respect me, and you want to come for this show, you're going to pay dollars. But why not? He's mm-hmm. allowed to ask for that. Yeah. I think it's worth it. Wouldn't you pay? He's a legend. He's an OG. So whichever country you're from, every country mm-hmm. has their legend. And if you want to support them and love them, pay up, but enjoy the show. And I know he's going to put on an amazing mm-hmm. show. It's going to be magical. The production is going to be mad. And of course, I'll be part of it.
You know, one person we've never talked about on the podcast or on the conversation we've had with you, and I want to know your take on him. Bebe Cool. We've never mentioned Bebe Cool. You've never talked about Bebe Cool in your life. Like, how was your relationship with Bebe, and how?
I mean, I'm an islander, you know. I'm Team Mayanja, but me and Bebe are fine. We have a good relationship. I like him a lot. He has known me as long as I worked for Leon Island, because we see each other all the time backstage or on shows. I have big respect for Bebe Cool. He's an amazing artist. He does his own thing in his own way. And he's a boss. And Chameleon and Bebe have a very good relationship. Okay, they've been competition for many years, and they've had their little arguments here and there. But I've been with Bebe all over Uganda. We did the Tubonga Nawe together. Yeah. So we have a close relationship. And I like him a lot. He's a boss. And Chameleon tells all of his people, you have to respect Bebe. Don't ever disrespect Bebe. The only person that can do that
What happened to the battle that they were trying to put together? The battle between him and Chameleon?
That's PR. That's PR. You think that can happen? I don't think so. They're friends. Yeah. They don't have to.
No,
battle.
Like, but in music.
When Bebe performs, he pulls Chameleon on stage. Okay. Oh, you want to? Nah, come on. We all know that Chameleon bury Bebe. Chameleon can perform for 6 hours if you let him. Hit after hit after hit after hit after. I don't think there's a... Okay, Radio and Weasel could probably out-sing Chameleon because they have so many songs.
That's a big statement you've made right there. That's a big statement about Radio and Weasel out-sing Chameleon.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I still think Chameleon would...
Okay, listen, the impact. Nobody performs like Jose. Jose is a beast on stage, especially with a live band. But I would do anything to see Radio live again. Anything.
No, Radio, to me... I still name him as my top, like the GOAT, like Radio, the greatest of all time. Like he's
number
there.
One. Yeah. If you ask, of course, Chameleon is the OG. Chameleon is the OG and the God, but Radio is number one. Absolutely. He was the miracle lyrical. I'm not going to expose artists, but many top songs were written by Radio for other people. The crowd doesn't know that. Radio wrote a lot of songs for people. He was the best, and we miss him dearly. And I hope he's good up there. You know, that was the biggest loss of the Ugandan entertainment and music industry. I don't think we can ever. Yeah, if Bebe or Camille would die, that would be huge. But until then, Radio's death was the biggest knife punch that we've had.
Talking about Radio's death. I think a month ago, Chameleon lost his brother, Humphrey.
It was very sad. And we also lost AK. It was like Radio, AK, Dance Kumapenza. Now Humphrey Mayanja. We've lost great ones. And I'm probably missing a few that I can't remember right now that have died over the years. But Humphrey Mayanja was a big brother. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make the actual funeral. I was in Ghana. I was making plans for Ghana, it's sad. That's all I can say. He was battling cancer for a few years. He suffered a bit. On the end, at least he was peaceful. He was with his family. I'm happy that he's resting now, and that he's together with Emma, AK. Of course, it's a big loss for the family. He was the big brother, you know. He was the oldest boy. So. For Chameleon, it's sad. For all of the Mayanjas, it's sad. He was a great person. He was very wise. Gave a lot of advice also to me, by the way. We had some good chats. He was always ready to take care of you and advise you. And, you know, he has seen more things in life than we have. He has seen all of them grow up, so he knows better.
That's true.
So, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Humphrey Mayanja. Your soul rest in peace. We were talking about the future events coming up, and then we kind of took a sidetrack. I took you off track, but Joe Boy is performing 2024 this year.
Yeah, so that's something I'm really going to work on. Yeah, so I met both of them in Ghana. My first day in Ghana, I made sure that together, because of Black Volta again. Black Volta is so well connected. My first night in Ghana, we went out. Was it Coco Beach Bar or something? Joe Boy performed. Kiddy was there. We had a blast. I met up with the team. I got the numbers from the managers. They were super chill. We just had a great time. And I'm talking to them. And I would really want to bring Joe Boy and Kiddy to Kampala, either for a show or we do something with a club or something like that. But it was really fun experiencing Ghana in that way, where people just respect each other, that work in the same industry and support each other and share information. I feel like Kampala can learn from that. Here, people don't want to, you know, if somebody says, hey, do you have Jeff Chiwa's number? Oh, hey, do you have Ali Bai's number? You know, people will say, let me first ask if I'm allowed to give it. In Ghana, people were way more open. Like they were talking, hey, you want to come to Uganda? Oh, you want to come there? Oh, let's work together. Let's do a project. They're always busy with creating more hype. And I feel like East Africa could do that more. We need to start working together a lot more. We have great talent all over East Africa. I'm really well connected with West Africa right now. So let's create that bridge where we can start moving people up and down and also making projects together. Ugandan artists, Ghanaian DJs, Kenya, Sudan, Congo. Let's bring East and West together. I think it will be magical.
You mentioned something about becoming a strong Christian again. A lot of people will look at you and perceive you in a different way. Like they feel like you don't have anything godly in your life, but you bring up becoming...
Which is wrong.
Yeah, which is wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like saying I'm going to stop smoking. You know, it's not easy to be a good Christian. What I meant was I want to be closer to God. My parents are missionaries. I was raised very religious. Every Thursday and Sunday we were in church. We prayed every day. Bible studies, Bible sessions. So I've always been around the church and Christians. And then, of course, you know, everybody in their life sometimes takes a sidetrack and kind of does their own thing. I'm not necessarily became an atheist, but I wasn't also focusing on religion until I started noticing that it's a good way to focus on yourself. Religion helps with that. I don't ask people, whichever religion you were or want to be, Islam or, I mean, it doesn't matter, Hindu, Christianity, but it's a smart way to take care of yourself and meditate. You can read scriptures. You can learn from people that have seen it for hundreds, in the Bible, thousands of years. And there's a lot of knowledge in there, which mm-hmm. can kind of give you guidelines in life. So even if you don't want to believe that Jesus turned water into wine, the Bible is still a good book to read. They talk about a bunch of things. They talk about finances. They talk about relationships. They talk about father and son love. They talk about, you know, so a lot of things that young men struggle with, the Bible is a refuge. You can mm-hmm. go there and find answers that can ease your mind and your heart.
Preach.
And accept life as it is. So, yeah, preach. Yeah, they should put me in church, by the way. Yeah. If this all fails, I'll become a pastor. No, anyway. I've always been close to religion. And I just feel like lately I've been back interested in it, reading my Bible, praying, meditating, and, you know, gospel is good music as mm-hmm. well, bro. Gospel is some fire.
Fire, fire, fire. Holy Ghost.
I don't know if you've
fire.
Ever seen Hillsong live.
Yeah.
I saw Hillsong UK. It's freaking amazing, man. It's
when they
it's
came to Kampala,
emotional as well. They did, and I missed it. I was really pissed off.
Yeah.
But they had a great time. Hillsong was live in Kampala. That's true. Mm-hmm. I missed it.
So there's this one line that you said, life has humbled me so much last year. I don't wish bad on anyone. Neither do I look for revenge. I just need a lot of people to stay away from me.
That was a post I made, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's literally what the post says is what I mean. Like, you know, life as a young man, you need to stay focused. And it's hard enough in this world at the moment. A lot of terrible things are going on. The economy is fucked. Governments and civilians don't get along. There's a lot of refugee crisis. I mean, I can keep on going about the bad things in life. So if you're not focused, or if you allow yourself to get intimidated by all of that badness, it can get tough sometimes. Mm. And I advise people to leave alone the hate and leave alone the discrimination. Don't focus on that. Focus on yourself. Love yourself. And what I meant with that post is that because I was losing myself into what was going on in the world and what other people were thinking of me, or what people tell you you're supposed to think, or how you're supposed to behave, I was feeling sad. I was feeling depressed. And lately, I've cut myself off from a lot of bad influence. I've cut off a lot of old friends because they were influencing that lifestyle that made me depressed. I'm still living the same way, but I'm living for me and I'm loving myself. So I highly advise, especially young men out there, to start loving yourself, start looking at who am I really and how can I benefit the most out of life being me, not being somebody else for somebody else. So life has humbled me and I'm very happy that finally I'm thinking clear. And I'm ready to become the best of myself.
Yes, sir. Anyway, Maxi, it's always nice talking to you. And you just did a mic drop right there. Oh, it's always fun talking to you. Speaking your mind.
I think that was a mic drop.
Yeah. Speaking your mind.
And thanks for having me again, man. It's always fun talking to you. It's like therapy. You're my therapist.
I can't wait to come to Uganda and meet you in person. I was there in January. I missed seeing you. But I'm going to be back sometime this year. I'll hit you up when I get that.
Definitely. I'll see you then. Thanks for having me again. I think we talked about the good things. Mm-hmm. Let's see what the people think about it and how they're going to react.
Yeah.
And God bless you, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
A. Bryans, remember that. He's our next guest.
A. Bryans, I will text him right after the show and I'll ask him to come on because he would be a fun person to interview and a good one for you to have.
All right, man. Thank you very much, Maxi. It's a wrap.
And thank you too.
I was Maxi. Thank you very much. Hey there, my name is Bonny Chibuka, the podcast host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit the like button and don't forget to subscribe. Also, leave a feedback on this podcast, so that's how we grow. Thank you very much. And right before you went to Ghana, what motivates you? Why did you choose the red hair and why do you color your hair?
Yeah, I've done a bunch of colors over the last year. I've been experimenting with it. First of all, it's fun. It's just fun. I'm having a blast. Like I said, I'm loving myself. I'm experimenting what I like. And I think it's also a good way to get recognized. You know, if you go to shows, or in this case, I went to Ghana, I went to a foreign country. You know, I take pictures with celebs, I take pictures with promoters, they repost me. So then when other people see you, they immediately spot you. They're like, oh yeah, I remember that guy, you know, the guy with the colored hair.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a little bit of marketing, a little bit of me having fun. Doesn't it look good? Don't I look good? We're gangsters, bruh. We're mafia. Let them see us. If you don't make noise, they're not gonna hear you. If you don't stand out, you'll fade away. I will not allow myself to fade away. I will keep on making noise. Maxi Chizito is a very loud brand. And I think pink hair is loud.
Maxi Chizito.
Yo, Maxi Chizito, shout out to Dansoft Studios for having me here. Live from Kampala, UG Boy Podcast. Thank you for having me. Like and subscribe. Don't forget to comment and keep watching me because it's going to be fun. Peace out.